Dennis Undav looking for Jemmy Leverling. Ram got on the way. Oh, Undav has scored! It's 2-0 on the 30-minute mark. Fury, Undav! It's Dennis Undav with a brace. 4-2, an explosion of goals here in the southwest. There's Undav, and a second crack at the whip. It's a hat-trick from Dennis Undav, his first Bundesliga hat-trick. 5-2.
Welcome to a Valorant-based Stuttgart American, an American-based English-language Valorant-based Stuttgart fan podcast where views are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. This is our 108th episode. I am one of your hosts. I'm Travis. You can reach me at Hazelfish. You can reach us online at Valpy Americana. Big match. We had 5 goals in this one. So we decided to have a guy on who it's actually, Rob, it's only going to be your 5th episode, which blows my mind. Usually you only come on when we play the 05ers, when we play mine for some reason. But we're having you on to talk Leipzig, man. How are you doing? Thanks for popping on.
Not too bad. Doing well. I mean, this weekend was a breath of fresh air. So you go from a little bit of a slide to what the heck was that?
Let's do some shout outs here in part one. Valpy Bingo. We've been doing this for about a year and Derek Ray finally nailed it. He got 15 out of 25 and he got bingo by getting the Honus Stiller relationship. He got the 2023 playoffs, Seiru in Africa, Dennis national team rumors and champions as recently as 2007, which is one of my favorite. At C Stahl 17 said, can we make a trophy for this? I mean, Derek Ray gave us a shout out. He said this was fantastic. Rob, what kind of trophy should we get Derek and send over to Scott?
Something's definitely deserved. I don't know. You got a dauber and with a brush string on it or something like that, right? Custom made.
Yeah. So Derek, congratulations. I don't know what this gets you, but you got the bingo there. So that was good. Pod predictions. Jeff went 6-3 and was the only one to pick Val B this weekend. So congratulations to him. Pod awards. I don't know, Rob, if you heard this, but 50 plus donor gave us the best American Bundesliga podcast. The number of people that congratulated us on the side and to our face was impressive. And then I had to tell them, you realize this is all in jest. This isn't serious. But should we give some kind of fire and brimstone speech here and burn all kinds of bridges?
I mean, I did see the, I think you put this announcement out on Twitter or something, right? I believe you recorded your live reaction to it, I believe. I did catch that.
Yes, suck it, everybody else. Yeah. We've got that going in our trophy case there. The Valby Frauen, they won their friendly, so they don't play until March, but they beat Würzburg 3-1. A new shout out we're going to start for 2024, Rob. The Valby Shop. As anybody who listens to this program knows, I have bought way too many things. The newest item in their store is hoodies and t-shirts with the crest. Pretty basic. Is there anything in the store that you've been eyeing up or anything that you think you just got to add?
I was looking. There's an alert right now. Mozilla's popping up and telling me alerts because I'm actually on the site right now. I'm all getting right. A big thing in the corner saying thanks for my interest, basically, and special offers. It's all in German, so that's a little bit more to think about right now.
A little more impressive, too. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. The shout-out here is Joe Bryant is a kid who makes stadiums out of Legos. So
I have seen some of his work. Yeah.
Yeah. So his stadium Lego of the MHP arena now, I guess.
Can you buy it?
Well, like it's
a kit.
It is. I don't doubt the Schwabian.
That'd be terrifyingly expensive and tempting. Yeah.
And this club needs money. So I absolutely bet they will have that out there the next month or two, but it's been permanently transferred to Stuttgart. I mean,
So they have the actual model. Like they gave it to him. That's awesome.
Yeah. They had him at the game. He met up with Klaus Vogt and Alexander Verrill. They've got it in the arena. Now I wanted Matt on this episode cause he's actually in charge of Lego Club for his particular.
Sure,
school.
Sure.
So, I mean, I used to love Legos as kids. I mean, you gotta love this, right?
Oh yeah. I was way into them. I mean, There's a Falcon kit over there somewhere. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. I have it as an adult still. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's why I said if it was buyable in a model, That'd be tempting.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I would not doubt it. It's going to be on the market anytime soon there. Former Valmont Bears, some guys on loan. We got Juan played 70 minutes in a win over Wahid's Elversberg. He got 10 minutes after a long injury. Omar played 83 minutes in Turkey, but may have been injured according to FotMob. Mosanko played about 10 minutes and lost to old friend Borna's Ajax. And Luca played 90 minutes in a loss to Union. So not too much going on there. OFC Fantasy, Doug and Jens won with Peter close behind. So Jens, Village Footy, give those guys a listen. And Doug are all in the top three. The OFC Tip Spiel, I am Rob Holloway, crushed everybody. Nobody was even close. And he's now in third behind Stefan and Kai Guy. I'm falling apart in that one. Rob, the OFC man of the match, no surprise. It was Dennis Undav in a blowout. Got shocking. Over 85 right percent of the vote. Doug, our OFC sporting director, said he didn't even need his kiddo to pick this one. This is an easy one. Here's the question, though. Who do you think was the vice champion in this one? Who was runner-up?
Well, there was no bird competition this week, like I heard from last week. But I don't know. It was a really well-rounded team performance. Like, nobody else sticks out to me besides Undav's three goals as being the guy. Leveling, finally getting a goal, and a relatively pretty one at that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you. I'm a little older now. Put my foot up that high. If I do it, I'm, like, done for the rest of the game if I'm playing. So
hamstring's gone.
Yeah, that something somewhere is going, and we're not walking for at least a few days. So him getting a goal, it's good to see. He struggled in front of the net recently, or since he's been here. Yeah, all right. But right. It's nice to see him with Silas and GRC out and getting a chance up there and making good on it. So yeah. I'll go with Leveling. It was nice to see him get one.
Yeah, it was actually a guy we're not going to talk about too much today. Chris Furich was in second place in this one. He played really well on that one side. So you know what? Speaking of the match, let's dive right into this one. And I really want to get your opinion on this because it was third place us hosting fourth place Leipzig. None of us were confident. I think Jeff only picked Stuttgart because he's in a just emotional tailspin because his beloved Cologne is just crashing and burning. So I don't know how much of that was actually based on what he thought was going to happen. But when all was said and done, four of the guys made the kicker team of the week. Joshua did, Dennis did, Enzo did, Chris did, and Dennis was the player of the week for the entire Bundesliga. Matt and I both thought this was going to be a blowout for Leipzig. What were your initial thoughts on this one? Because we haven't talked to you in a bit.
Yeah, I mean, given the way that the first game of the year went, right? I mean, the first game against Leipzig was the big, oh, crap, maybe we aren't doing so hot this year and we're back to normal, right? So my expectations weren't very high for the match. I didn't expect in any way for us to put up five, including apparently not a hat trick, because that's different in German. I didn't realize that. I didn't know there was a distinction between the, what did they say, a Dreipacke, I think, or something like that, right? It was a three something. So
it's all going to be in the first half, the same.
It has to be natural order. So in hockey, you'd call it a natural hat trick if you're the 1-2-3 or the 3-4-5 goal scorer, right? You don't call it a hat trick, apparently, unless it's in that order, but hockey, you just throw natural off the front of it and call it good. But okay. I had no expectations going in that that was what was going to happen. And I actually got up and one of the goals in the second half was like relatively early. I think I missed that one. I didn't see it.
Oh.
So I was, you know, it's breakfast time. I was making coffee or something like that. I sit down, I rewind to actually watch the goal. And in the time that I'm rewinding to watch that goal and I get back to live again, we've scored again. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
That is always so, a great update.
You don't expect that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't be more impressed. And it wasn't just that we won 5-0 or 5-2. It was 5-2, right? I think it's not just the 5-goal win. It's the dominance of it. There wasn't any point in that game where I felt like there was a big threatening possession spell from them at all. It was like we were playing someone lower table. I don't know why that hadn't happened the last 2 weeks, but it's just crazy.
Yeah, they were missing a key guy on yellow card suspensions, but still, and especially when you consider the four guys that are gone on Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
In Asia, and the fact that Otto was out. So Enzo had to move back and play a six. I thought that was kind of interesting with the lineup, is we went with a 3-4-3, and you had Rouault in there, who played really well on the right-hand side. And Anton moved over to the left, somewhere Bruno Labbadia is crying, saying that's not where he deserves to be. Then you had Enzo play kind of a classic six. Volgamut joked with him after the match about, hey, now this is your new position. He was like, no. But then you had Dennis, Jamie, and Chris up front. But during the match, Jamie would take the lead spot and Dennis would play behind him.
Yeah, he was dropping back a lot.
And it turned out to just be a master stroke there. I was just frankly super surprised by that, but I loved it because Dennis has been struggling the last 2 weeks just playing up front by himself, and having Jamie, who's not a natural striker, play up there, but he's a big dude, seemed to unlock whatever Dennis needed to perform.
Well, one of the things when you watch how Giresse plays, he likes to come back and hold the ball up and let the play develop around him a bit. He's not just up front scoring goals for us when he's here. He comes back and receives and starts the offense off a lot of the times, or he'll be the one to make that first pass run off, and he's been missing, right? I mean, you know, props to those guys. They're still going, right? And I know that's somewhere in the next set of stuff, but not jumping too far ahead, but that's been missing. I feel like we haven't had that hold up style of play at all. And with him dropping back and starting to do that this last match, it certainly unlocked something that was missing. I mean, when's the last time we put up five goals? It's feels like it's been a while.
Especially against the Leipzig, where in the previous 11 matches, we've only scored four goals total.
Never beat them in the Bundesliga, if I remember hearing correctly, right?
I know. I get to break out my favorite tennis quote from Vitas Gerulaitis. After he finally beat Jimmy Connors after 18 matches, he said, let's be a lesson to you all that nobody beats Vitas Gerulaitis 18 times in a row. So
I have no idea who either of them are, but that's an awesome quote.
Yeah, it was good. I'm breaking out my 1970s tennis.
Okay, yeah. That's good stuff, though.
Yeah. The biggest reason I think I was wrong is I'm going to kind of break this down into four Fs, as it turns out. Stuttgart came out focused. They were crazy flexible, sort of as we alluded to. We finally converted our finishes. So we had some finishes, and we just fed off the home support. So let's start with those first two, focus and flexibility. And I'm going to throw some stuff out there. So we came out with a plan. You could just tell we were going to press them. We didn't have any early mistakes, which has really plagued us the last few matches.
Sure.
The focus on the duels, like Anthony Rouault, he got the turnover that led to that second, but helped create the second goal. That kid was everywhere, and he played great. Angelo Stiller had that really quick pass on the fifth and final goal when Leipzig just wasn't really set up yet. That allowed.
Yeah, that was nice too. I love a good unprepared free kick style like that, where you clearly see the other team is still trying to set up, and the ref's just like, "Nope, it's good."
Right, and that usually happened to us in the past.
Sure, yeah.
And then the focus of when Leipzig cut the lead, being able to just bounce back and get that lead right back. The other talking point is flexibility. We talked about it a little bit. Jamie went up front in the kind of the 3-4-3, but almost like a 3-4-2-1 at times with Dennis behind him. And then Enzo at the six with Angelo, and he played great. And you're almost like out of who at this point, which is crazy. So of those two things, focus, flexibility, which one do you want to wait for it? Which one do you want to focus on right now?
Focus for sure. I mean, look at it's the game before Bochum where we give up in the first minute, right? I haven't even turned the TV on yet because I, on Saturday mornings, tend to be relatively lazy. And I'm either like watching the first half in bed on my phone, or I'm like stumbling downstairs right at start. And so I turn the TV on, a minute's gone, and we've already got a goal scored against us. What the hell is that? So clearly we're, you know, doing a little better. And the Bochum goal was early in the second half too, wasn't it? The only goal in that match, which, you know, focus, you know, you're too busy focused on whether or not you can get in and out of a door for 45 to 50 to 60 to 70 minutes, you know, come back out and they pop one in and that's how the game sits. Right. So yeah, this was a very different team, very different game from the last 2 weeks. So it's good to see. I was happy in the morning. To be fair, most of the season has been happy in the morning.
True.
But the last 3 weeks last 2 weeks before this one were, are we crashing back down? But then you go and, you know, put in five on Leipzig and suddenly, we deserve to be up here.
Now, the focus, I 100% agree with you, is huge because the downfall against Bayern, Gladbach, and Bochum was just early mistakes. Lack of focus. I'm going to talk about the flexibility a little bit because that is one thing we were concerned about with the four guys.
Coach's view right here.
Hey, look at that. My yeah. girls' track and field coaching background. Clearly coming into the Bundesliga help here. Is with the guys out, and that we were starting to question Sebastian a little bit about he only put in Roberto Massimo last match. And you're like, okay, why do we even have a bench at this point? So for him to shift not just the lineup and not just the formation, but to put a guy in a better position like Dennis, but also put a guy in a little bit of a different position like Jamie. It wasn't like he was up there the whole time. They did rotate back and forth a little bit, but Jamie was up there. I was just super impressed with the fact, and Enzo could move back, and he's a little bit of a slider guy, and he could play a number six next to Angelo. Like, he has played that position all season long.
Yeah, that's not what you expect. I mean, when I think of Mio, I think more of going forward, right? And that's, you know, playing a little bit farther back, playing a little more defensive mid is not the same, right? So it was interesting to see him back there. He played well there. Like you said, he joked about him that being a spot for him, but you know, having that flexibility is awesome, especially if we might actually be, you know, playing with a few more matches next year. Some of that flexibility might be necessary, right? So it's definitely interesting to see that happen. And to see some actual subs was good, I think, but they didn't come out until relatively late, until things were well in hand, right? So, you know, that is one spot where if you want to put any criticism on Hunnis over the last few weeks is that inability to go to the bench, but maybe just doesn't feel the bench is deep enough, right? With folks being gone.
That, yeah. We were the big controversy of where is, you know, Milosevic was finally answered. He got like 3 minutes or whatever it was at the end of the match. So he got in there, but the guys didn't need to go to the bench because it was just so many goals. So let's talk about the next talking point, which is the finishing. So you had the Enzo penalty kick. You had Dennis's goal from distance. You had the header. You had the rebound. You had just that crazy athletic goal that Jamie had. So let's talk about Enzo first. I'm going to give a little shout out to my buddy Daxo here. I loved how upfront he was playing during the match. He had the header that led to the handball that Dr. Brick, of all people, gave us in the VAR.
Apparently, he can't run still yet, right? He hurt himself earlier, right? So he's in the basement in Cologne, right? So
yeah. He actually gave us the call there. And here's what Ted said. Ted sent in this question. He's like, quote, what do you guys think when Enzo stepped up to take the penalty kick and of the penalty kick itself? I was a little bit nervous and was figuring Undav would have and should have taken it. And I thought it was sort of a softly taken penalty kick that relied so much on attitude and body language to convince the goalkeeper to go the other way. You look real dumb if that one gets saved, but he looked really cool having netted it. Hats off to him. I'm going to start off with this one. I'm glad Enzo took it. I wanted somebody new to take it. I didn't want Chris to take it. I actually didn't want Dennis to take it. I was really happy that Enzo took it. I thought the penalty kick was brilliant.
It looked good to me.
Yeah, it hit the side of the net. And from what I've always understood, if you hit the side of the net, I get it didn't have a ton of pace on it. So I'll disagree with Ted a little bit on this one, but I think the placement was perfect. And he did what Travis used to do back in 1992 soccer when he was playing, you know, high school American soccer, where he would look to the right, but he would kick to the left. And if you look, that's exactly what Enzo did. Right before he kicked it, he stared to the right, the goalkeeper dove right, and he hit it to the left. But I thought the placement on that thing was perfect. So I was really happy that Enzo took the goal, and I thought the penalty was just spot on. What about you?
Yeah, anytime you hit side netting is a good thing, like you said, right? That means you've got a decent angle on it, and you're hitting it as far toward the edge as you possibly can. So that's going to be tough for the goalie to get to. As long as it's got enough pace, you should be good to go. And if he goes the wrong way, because you played that little head game, like you said, and there's not like, you know, you can't look on your cheat sheet on your arm and see where Enzo goes for penalties. How many is he taking? You know, I don't know if he's taken enough to even get enough to warrant being on the list, right? Of who you study. Yeah, I don't think he's taken any. It's always been, you know, somebody else like GRC or, you know, one of the other forwards that grabs him. So, you know, stepping up, you know, and he's signed for longer, isn't he? He's one of the guys that's extended.
One of the contract extensions, yeah.
Yeah, he has, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't brought anybody in, but they are holding on to the guys that they have, which is something that you have said a lot. It's like, why don't we just hold on to some of these guys for a year and see what happens?
Let the team develop and grow comfortable together. And we're seeing the fruits of that, I think, finally.
Yeah, and one of the guys that's developing, one of the guys that's finally seeing some fruits of it was Jamie's goal. You mentioned it. It was crazy because he missed a ton of chances the last 2 weeks. He actually missed one right before halftime. This poor guy, I texted Matt, I was just like, I think I'm going to score more goals than Jamie this year. It's just, he just can't do it. And then he comes out with just that really beautiful athletic play to get the ball in there. Broke the seal. Everybody was excited for this guy. They talked about how in the cabin after the match, everybody was just really pumped up for him. How they were joking about how he was never going to get one in there. Daxo was there. You know, I think when Daxo pats you on the head, it's an immediate
yeah,
it's a big dude. A listener asked, like, did anything change for Jamie at this point? I almost think no. What changed was he just had to act, not think, because
it's pure. I'm watching the goal back on the other half of the monitor right now. It's pure reaction, and it's just the slightest little flick. His foot's up at head level. It's a wonderful poachy crappy, like in the right spot at the right time. Mm-hmm. And he's in front of the net for this one too. So like I said, he's playing up in front. He's not playing out on the wing. So, you know, maybe that's where he needs to be, is in front of the net to open up that a little bit instead of having to, you know, run in like Furyk does and maybe lose the ball a little bit more. But yeah, it's just instinctual little poke, and he pops it over the top of the goalie. It's pretty. Like I said, I wouldn't be walking afterwards.
I would have pulled something there. Yeah, I think it was more just an instinctual play, because his decision-making in that final part, you can tell there's just a little bit too much thinking going on. It's like he goes from fifth gear immediately down to third gear, and some of his passes are a little off. It was just awesome to see him get off the schneid. And the other guy that got off the schneid that everybody was talking about is Dennis. So let me throw some stuff at you, man. So he was the kicker player of the week. He's got 12 goals in 16 matches. It's nuts. His first hat trick, depending on if you're German or not, I guess.
Yeah. But then right.
third by Stuttgart player. Sabres got the first two. He scored with his right, with his left, a header. This is nuts. Only Atletico Madrid has two players that have double digits in goals in Stuttgart.
Isn't it nice to be in like the happy end of the stats for a change, right? As you're looking at this stuff, and we get to talk about positive stats instead of, this bad thing or that bad thing.
Don't pinch me. I don't want to wake up. Right. Honus said after the match, he is not an instinctive footballer who comes from street football and can therefore anticipate certain situations that other players would not be able to anticipate. End quote. He's 27. You remember, he's not a super young kid. He's not super old at all. He survived Daxo crushing him after his second goal and then carrying him in his third one. There's the bad news here that kicker threw out there is, listen, he is on loan, and every time he has success, his purchase.
Yeah. Do we know any of the details of that? Do you know any of them offhand as to?
I believe the initial purchase option was somewhere in the 12 to 14 range. And the problem is, the more success he has, the more goals he scores, the higher up on the table Stuttgart finishes. There's some escalators in that.
Sure.
Specifically. So, The conspiracy theory at this point is that when Seiru is sold during the summer, that money will be transferred over to Undav, and it's going to be an expensive one. But let's not worry about the negative at this point. Let's talk about the positive here. He got off the schneid. He scored just beautiful goals. I agree with just what you said about Jamie. This dude's a poacher. He just knows where to be. And I exactly agree with Honus. His anticipation is something we haven't seen in the red and white in a long time.
Yeah, just being in the right spot at the right time, you know, kind of just walking through the goals as I'm watching them back here, so I know what they look like and have them fresh in my mind, right? The first goal is just outside. I think he's even outside of the box. He takes it outside the box. And how many goals have we had outside the box this year? It doesn't feel like a lot. Mm-hmm. It feels like a lot of our goals are more closer in. So a nice long-range one is fun to see. Mm-hmm. The second one, I don't know what the RB defense is thinking. We've got the only person goal side of him is another VfB player. It's not, there's no one on him at all. And I don't think you expect him to be a threat in the air. He's not exactly the tallest guy, even though he's converting from the centimeters that the website shows that he's 5'10". So he's not a short dude, but out there he looks relatively short compared to people. And he doesn't win as much in the air as, you know, some of the others like would. You'd expect to see like Anton or, you know, Fegnemann or Zagadou on the headers when it comes to the corners. But he's wide open, and it's just wonderful little grazing technique to pop it in the corner there. good stuff. And then his third goal, which is awesome, you know, number three, he takes it off of his right, gets the rebound, and finishes with his left. That's wonderful.
It's the guy, like you said, the anticipation of him just in front of the goal. It's almost like when Seiru had those first eight chances and he converted those first eight chances, and then he started to miss some chances. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
He's washed up now. You're like, no, you don't convert every single chance. So to see him be able to get back from back on his run of form after those last two matches against Bochum and Gladbach is just awesome. But to your point, the Leipzig defense was just really questionable. I mean, I think Dax was in position to put a shot on goal with that header had Dennis not gotten it.
Oh, so, definitely. When you watch it back, you can see as Daxel goes up for it, Zagadou is leaning into it. So one of the two of them was getting on it. There's nobody goal side at all from Leipzig on that. It's really poor defending on a corner for a team of that level.
Yeah, and it's kind of wild because I don't know if at that point Leipzig had just thrown in the towel, if they were playing on the road, so they just didn't have the same focus, the word that we used earlier. So let's talk about that a little bit. Is the fourth and final thing that I thought is I forgot how well these guys play at home this year. They just fed on the home cooking, so to speak. And I'll get to the reason why we're talking about that in a second. But this club at home is significantly stronger than it is on the road, which isn't a hot take. In the Bundesliga, that's usually the way it is. But they're beating some good teams at home. They had that draw against Bayer Leverkusen earlier. They beat up on Dortmund. This result here, these guys are just, when they're playing at the MHP, Mercedes-Benz, Kanchatter Curve, whatever you want to call it, the role of the home crowd, even when they're chucking tennis balls onto the field to protest the DFL's investment strategy, those guys were loud. And
I love how so no American broadcast actually will translate what the fans are saying when they're chanting Scheiß DFB, and you can hear it loud and clear. And it's been on the away matches, it's been on the home matches, it's not just been in Stuttgart that it's been that way, but it's very, very clear what it is if you understand the German being chanted too. And it just doesn't get touched by whoever's announcing in English.
Even Derek ignored it, which he usually touches on all of that stuff. But let's talk about the Fed on the home cooking. I mean, the home crowd is just amazing. They were loud. There was only about 1,000 Leipzig supporters there, so they were drowned out if they were.
Oh, yeah, you can't hear them at all.
Anything at all. But let's talk about it. So Derek Ray got like over 500 likes on the Twitter machine for his recent comments about Maltaschen or Spezel up there. He made it a comment. It got into the broadcast. The Germans love it. Ricky Palm, who's one of the big podcasters over there, retweeted it. So it got a lot of love there. We retweeted it. Derek retweeted it. I love the fact that Derek was able to throw in some culinary culture onto his commentary. So now we got to put you in a corner.
You know what? It's not the first time we've heard Derek Ray comment on that particular topic.
Well,
because he mentioned it and talked about it when he talked to you guys, which so knew a little bit what was coming there, but no, it's awesome to kind of get that flavor. I love listening to him, not just because he's an awesome announcer in terms of what's going on in the game, but he uses it as an opportunity to almost, you know, educate on German culture too.
Right.
You get the correct pronunciation of the names, you get a little bit of German, you know, actual vocab thrown in there besides just the players' names, right? I had no idea. And I've been studying German since I lived over there, you know, 20 years ago. Oh God, I'm old ago. But, you know, it's something I've studied a while. I had no idea there was a difference in what a hat trick was in German versus English. So to hear him explain that out and talk about it is awesome. To hear him talk about the food, fantastic. I mean, from our side, you can't buy Maltaschen in the U.S. Like, have you ever found anywhere where you can actually buy it?
I was going to put you in the corner here and say, which one are you going to go with, Maltaschen or Spezel? But I know the answer to this because you send us pictures every once in a while where once a year at least you create probably the most Maltaschen in the United States.
Yeah, we the last 3 years we've started doing it. I used to do like a small batch and we'd do like a little bit for dinner. And my brother and I and my brother-in-law, the three of us will get together. And we pretty much factory produce a decent quantity of maltosh. I think we made somewhere upwards of like 300 or 400 of them this year. And then we vacuum freeze them, and they thaw fantastically and work really, really well. So it's like my go-to lunch. I'll just take a thing of broth and toss a couple of maltosh in them to make maltosh and soup out of it. Or, you know, fry them up with eggs. There's a billion ways you can use them. They are awesome. I love Mishum Spetzla, but Maltoschen is by far the better of the two.
Yeah, Derek, you and I will have to agree to disagree here. But yeah, he did a great job with that. It was funny that he brought that up. It was interesting exactly what you said, that a number of the German commentators that we follow on Twitter were really impressed with his pronunciation and respect.
My wife actually commented on that. She's like, he said it weird. I'm like, no, he said it right, but I don't say it like that when we talk.
He didn't say it American.
Yeah, he got the actual U in there. And usually when we say it in American, it's just maltoshen, right? You kind of cut off the maul. You get that bit of pronunciation leaves. And my wife actually noticed that on the broadcast when he said it. He's like, that sounds weird. I'm like, no, that just sounds like it's supposed to. But you sound, you know, a little bit of you're getting a bit, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? You're getting a little bit too picky, like that foreign student or the person that went off on break and insists on saying Barcelona, right? You know, that old shtick, right?
You need to
make it sound right in English.
Add the American accent to it, darn
correct.
It.
Correct, yeah.
So we look back at the match. We've got we talked about the focus, the flexibility, the finishing, the home cooking there. The final thoughts in reality here, it was just, Rob, we're still in third place thanks to the head-to-head direct matchup victory, which let that phrase sink in just for a second.
I'm a fan.
Matchup. How's that?
Yeah.
I was listening to the Village Footy. They did theirs today, and there was a Bayer fan on there, and he runs the Neverkusen podcast, and he was just said, I am frightened to play these guys in the Pokal.
Yeah.
I was talking to the guy who runs Justin, the RBL podcast yesterday, and he was just like, you guys ran us ragged, and you're going to be in this all year. This is just – it's crazy that we're in this – top area. Now the top two are pretty much not settled, but Bayer got a draw with Gladbach, which makes our loss to Gladbach seem a little bit better actually, and Bayern held on to beat Augsburg. So those are the clear 1-2, but we're kind of in this 3-7 area. So who else is in there? You got Pellegrino's Hoffenheim. They're in eighth place, 25 points, due to a draw versus Heidenheim, of all people, who are looking really good. Freiburg stays in seventh with 28 points due to their loss to Bremen. Frankfurt barely won, but they did over Mainz, so they moved to six. They got 31 points. And then you got Dortmund with, I think they leapfrogged Leipzig with their victory.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, so Derek Ray, when we talked to him, thought, listen, we are going to compete for a top five spot. Matt and I were kind of like, eh. I talked to Matt off the air earlier today, and he, despite you know being pretty sick, was just like, yeah, but top four it is. That's crazy.
Legitimately feels like we are in contention for a Champions League spot, not a Europa League spot, but a Champions League spot.
Yeah.
I've never seen Stuttgart play in the Champions League since I've been following them. I don't know when the last time they actually were in the Champions League. I mean, I couldn't watch much when I first was over there the first couple of times, because there was no way to follow the Bundesliga back here. And so, you know, when it started to get picked up and you could actually follow better is what rekindled my interest in watching things. And we've been an adventure. You certainly can't accuse someone of being a glory hound for picking up on Stuttgart in the last decade or so, right? So it's wonderful to consider the fact that, hey, I'll tell people who I follow, and like, oh, who's that? Nobody ever knows here. Oh, why don't you follow Bayern? That's the only team that ever means anything in Germany anyways. Yourself. to keep it PG. But, you know, like, we're up there and we're in contention for it. I don't think, like you said, first and second, they're 10 points clear already at this point. And hopefully Leverkusen can keep it up. I'd love to see somebody besides Bayern win it. And there's no longer a match in hand. I think they made that game up, right? Everybody's on the same amount of matches at this point. So they're 2 points up with even. Those two definitely have the title race going on for them. But everything else is we're next. How? Like, I just... I still struggle with it.
Yeah, it's crazy. If we get a result against Freiburg, which we'll talk about later, that's going to push them further out, push us further up. We looked so crisp against a really good team that really gives you a lot of hope. especially if the Champions League spots expand from 4 to 5. Like,
right, with the coefficient, depending on how that works out. I can't admit I fully know how that works, but
yeah. It's hard to think we're not going to finish in the top 7 at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. You got to drop a lot there.
Yeah, there's going to be a bump in the road somewhere, but my goodness, the road is looking pretty awesome right now. So any last thoughts for the last minute here before we move on to our next segment? Rob, you want to...
Just looking at the table, the one thing I find interesting is how quickly the goal differential switches to being negative at 7th place. Mm. The only teams that have positive goal differential are 6th and up. Even Freiburg's got negative goal differential. So that seems really, really odd to me. But then you look at what Leverkusen and Bayern have done to their opponents this year at plus 36 and plus 38, and then it makes more sense.
The world is just a bizarre, bizarre place. All right, Rob, let's take a break, and I'll meet you next time. Segment 3, it's news, headlines, and questions. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right, welcome back to part 3, news, headlines, and questions. And yes, it is welcome back. Rob and I were talking off the air that we have no money, so we haven't paid for the Zoom upgrade. So we actually do have to take a 10-minute break, which is good. We get to say hi to the kids, you know, make some tea, a hot toddy, whatever the case may be. So, you know, don't feel sorry for us, people. We're doing just fine. All right, so here we go, Rob. We got some news and headlines. Let's start with the international play. So Guinea won an added time versus Equatorial Guinea, which had to be a fun match. Congo won in
Guinea.
Congo won in, against Egypt with penalty kicks. Silas came on around the 80th minute and scored one. So they're going to meet up February 2nd. South Korea's playing Tuesday as we record this. So the day that we actually will probably post this, Japan plays Wednesday. So Stuttgart's next match is Freiburg, February 3rd. None of those guys will be available for that. Then we got the Pokal against Bayer Leverkusen, February 6th. It looks like none of them will be available for that. One of those guys, Seiru or Silas, will for sure be out for the middle of February, which is the Mainz match and Darmstadt. It looks like the closest we could expect both of them to be back would be the Cologne match, which is February 24th. However you cut it, it looks like Freiburg and Leverkusen, both guys are for sure out. May be able to get them back, one of them after that. I mean, it's awesome for them. There's been a lot of angst on the Twitter machine about, oh man, really proud of those guys, really happy for those guys. But come on, hurry up and get back. What do you think, man? Any comments on any of that?
Yeah, it's crazy that the upset against Egypt. That's got to be an upset, right? I mean, I don't follow African football that closely. But the fact that Silas and Congo are still going after, you know, upending Salah's Egypt has got to be just a big achievement for them in general, right? So right. It's neat to see. It's cool to see that we've got representation like that. It does, you know, stink that it's in the middle of the Bundesliga year instead of being a summer tournament like all the other tournaments tend to be, but it is what it is. It happens every few years and people lose people. I mean, you get to see other folks, you know, come in and take their front seat and play, right? So it's really cool to see that's going on. Who's it that we got? That's Haraguchi that's still it's around. He looks so grumpy during the end of the game.
Yeah, there's rumors that there's a couple second division clubs in the Bundesliga that are interested in him. So
okay.
He's apparently a great cabin guy, great locker
sure.
guy. Looks good in a uniform, but that thing hasn't had to been washed in a while since Bruno was here, basically. So, he may be moving on to a second division club, which you hope for his sake that's able to happen because – he came here with Bruno and that didn't work out. And when that didn't work out, his time here on the field, at least, was kind of done. Yeah. I'm happy for Seiru. I'm happy for Silas, those guys. It makes the win against Leipzig all that much more.
Right.
Because had we lost that one, that would have been 3 in a row. And then the narrative of you guys can't do anything without Seiru would have continued. So it's nice that that's kind of over with there. The other big deal is money, 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 Rob. Here we go. The fortunate deal was finalized. So about 10% ownership of the club is going to be handed over to them for only $41 million. That doesn't seem like a lot for me. They'll have two members on the supervisory board. Here's the words here. So Porsche, quote, will be extensively involved as a sponsor of the youth group, and it will be under the motto Turbo for Talent. There's some great names here. This is what Verrill calls the Global Brand Alliance. It was approved by the Federal Cartel Office. Verrill says we are now future proof, which I don't know what that means, but it's just, there's a lot going on there. So now we got Mercedes-Benz. It's got about 10%. We've got Porsche's got about 10%. Yako's got about 1%. Global Brand Alliance. Money, money, money. What do you think, Rob?
It's always amazed me that with how close some of, you know, it's like Detroit in the U.S., right? You've got all these big automakers, but they're not the same. They're direct competition to each other, at least over here for luxury market, right? Right. You know, Mercedes cars in the States don't have the same, you know, they're everywhere feel as they do in Germany, right? It's more luxury, high end when it comes to a Mercedes over here, even though anybody that's driven around Stuttgart will, you know that you see Mercedes all over the place because they've got some of the more economy models that are more common over there. It's always been weird to me that Porsche hasn't been involved as much. I mean, you look at where the arena is, right? What's right next to it? Mm-hmm. Just down the street is the big Porsche Museum is right there, right? You got to go. It's all in town. So it's awesome to see another one of the automakers coming in, injecting more money into the club. Hopefully it helps, right? But it can't hurt. I mean, those are two, it's much better than Winamax across the front, right? So maybe we get a different sponsor on the shirt in the next few years as well. But I like it. It feels weird that it's, you know, still the whole AG thing that had so much to do a few years ago when it first came out. And I'll admit, I don't fully understand the full implications of that because it's not something that I have to care as much about when when all the news are not necessarily in a first language, right? But it can't hurt, right? People are actually investing in the club. Mm-hmm. There seems to be some stability there as opposed to who can we get, which right. I really like that. That, I think, is one of the big positives of it for me.
I think the word you use is stability is awesome. Is you've got Mercedes-Benz, which is in Stuttgart. You've got Porsche, which is in Stuttgart. And Porsche and Mercedes-Benz have been pulling their money out of other markets, really. And nothing to do with Stuttgart in particular, but Mercedes-Benz used to sponsor a tennis tournament that was in Stuttgart. It was one of the prelims before Wimbledon. So it was kind of a big deal. So they're kind of changing their strategy a little bit. So it's great that even though they're changing their strategy, they're still going to be involved in the club there. All the money is going to go to the youth center, though. It's none of it is going to be used for transfers or anything like that. Apparently, we still have to try to generate around $30 million in transfer money over the course of the summer, which is a bummer, which means some of our guys are going to go. So none of this money is going to be used to keep Seiru or anything like that. It's all going to be used to keep the future Seirus that are coming down the line there. So I'm excited about that. It will be interesting, though. You brought up something that we don't really have time to talk about now, but when Porsche was interviewed about Winamax being the sponsor, they were not happy about it. They did not know about it, and they really questioned it, which Matt and I have talked about this. It's crazy that Verrill was able to get $8 million a year for 3 years from Winamax. Everybody hates them. Nobody likes them. But if you look at the other clubs that had sponsorship deals, whether it was Schalke, whether it was Hertha Berlin, clubs that were kind of in the same relegation mess as we were at that particular time. Hertha Berlin's is like $1 million per year, not even close to what we're getting. Schalke's is requisite on them being promoted, which is not going to happen. They're currently one spot above the relegation from the Zweite Liga spot.
Yeah, it's a bit ugly down there.
Yeah, so it's something that I think we've all said before, and it's probably easier for us in the States than it is Germans over in Stuttgart, is that if you win, nobody's going to really care if it's a Marlboro or a Budweiser or whatever up there. So it is definitely kind of weird to see that. I know in the States, people wear the Winamax jerseys at a bottom, and it translates pretty well over here. So I don't know. It's money, money, money. It's going to be used for the youth kids, not for the actual club right away. So I agree with you. It can't be a bad thing here. So let's dive into some questions. First off, there's not questions. It's just like you said at the beginning of the show, a lot of happiness. So here's some quick hit comments. people from our OFC sent in. I'm shook. Just a lovely, lovely game. Peter from Vabi Omaha said, damn, that one felt good to watch. Let's go, boys. Ross, you know, said, ha, Red Bull. Extremely relieved that the last two matches were not a start of a trend and that we found our footing again.
Yeah, that's huge, I think. That comment's on point.
So that's what I was going to ask you next is, somebody asked, how vital was that win in context of the season with the tough start and a tough trip coming up to Freiburg? Could have been four losses in a row in theory. I love this guy who sent this in because it's definitely a Stuttgart supporter who's like, oh God, everything's falling apart.
Here we go again. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but just one more time, the importance of this win against Leipzig in the context of the month of January and the start of the new season.
I don't think you can have a better confidence builder than the team directly below you in the table and just dominating them, right? That sets you up for, we can play anybody. We're on the rise again. Here we go. It's what you want to see for sure.
I love what you said. It's a confidence builder. It's the last two matches, we weren't getting blown out. We had chances.
No.
The match was so frustrating.
Yeah, yep, so that was a grumpy chances. One.
Yeah, so to be able to stay focused and finish our chances like we mentioned in the earlier segment, which is awesome in the context, especially the Freiburg match, I think is going to be a tough one. I don't think they're going to want to play football as much as Leipzig did, and that kind of goes to our strengths a little bit. Shumi fan sends in, glad to see the boys finally came back from their extended winter break. Watching them play Saturday was night and day compared to the last two matches. Leveling got his goal. Chris and Enzo were running all over the place. Anton and Daxa were solid in the middle. Middlestadt, who we haven't talked about at all, and Joshua, who we haven't talked about, were up and down the pitch, helping to defend and pushing the ball forward. Flabby Viking writes in, where on the euphoria meter does this game rate compared to other huge wins you've seen for the Brustring? Rob, let's keep this relatively recent. I want to put this up there with the Dortmund win, or draw, I should say, the Dortmund draw. When Honus came in and things were looking pretty bleak, we were down 0-2. And
yeah, if we're talking recent, that's probably the best comparison. If we go a little bit farther back, the drubbing of Bayern and Bayern a few years ago, It reminds me a little bit of that. Because it's top, you know, who you expect to be top 1-2-3, and we go in and do something like that. Was it Mavropanos had a long, did Mavropanos have a goal on that one? I'm trying to think who scored, like, just a sprinting one. No, this was before Mavropanos even. It was, I'm drawing a blank.
You're going to kill yourself because this
the other Greek guy.
It was one of the greatest names ever, and we all wanted to get the kit. It was Anastasis Donis.
Yeah.
His jersey was A. Donis.
Donis, yep. Which,
that would have been sweet.
But that match had that same feel of, holy crap, we're beating up on somebody that's supposed to be so much better than us. Whereas this year's, it doesn't feel like we're beating up on somebody better than us. It feels like we're beating up on a direct rival instead, which is an even better feeling, right? it's up there on the euphoria meter. This is, I think, one of my favorite results we've had in a while.
Yeah, it was just a fun match to watch. It was definitely one I've seen probably 5 or 6 times. My wife today was like, how many times are you going to watch? I'm like, all the times, all of them here.
As many as I can.
Right. I am Rob Holloway sends in, this was just the type of match result we needed against a team that put up 5 on us to start the season. Now we just have to finish and get a result against the teams that we're supposed to beat. David writes in, fantastic win, and we finally got the RBL off and off of our Rooken. Oh, well,
that's the monkey off our back.
Well done, David. Time to shake off another one, a road win in 2024. It's not going to get any easier going at Freiburg, who's likely to employ more of a park-the-bus style, give us fits against Gladbach. And
that's my worry. These comments are fantastic. I didn't read it all the way through when you sent it to me earlier, so I'm a little reacting in live here. But yeah, that's...
don't admit that we actually prepare for this show. That's
sorry, didn't even leak the secrets.
Yeah, well, these are all great segues, Rob. So why don't we wrap up? Let's move on to segment 4 and talk about the match that's coming up. All right, so here we go. We are traveling to Freiburg for a, what do you call it? A Baden-Württemberg rivalry here? Nobody wants to call it a derby, which, okay, fine. When I say Freiburg to you, they're in 7th place right now. They've kind of been the toast of the Bundesliga the last couple of years. Everybody loves Christian Streich. Everybody loves Freiburg. I mean, it's just an idyllic town set in the woods and all that stuff. So when I say Freiburg to you, what do you think about maybe the town, the football? What's coming up?
Yeah, Streich is the first thing that comes to mind. He's been there forever. I think he's the longest tenured guy in the Bundesliga by a fairly decent amount at this point, I think. So he's been around for quite some time. And they always skirt with, it feels like they're skirting with, they're always mid-table, but kind of pressuring toward the top, right? They haven't been down near the bottom in a while. They've been fairly consistent where they are. And, you know, a little bit more park the busy against the big clubs, sure, but they do and play well. They've been established and aren't bouncing back and forth like we've been the last few years. That stability kind of is a little point of jealousy, if you will, right? to see them where they are. So it's a club when I think about them, like I said, Streich comes to mind right away. And then the fact that, you know, they're one of the relatively close teams to play, it should be, it has that derby feel to it. You know, Baden-Württemberg is one state now, but Baden versus Württemberg has a little bit of historical tilt to it, if you know your history a little bit there, right? So it's a bit of fun from that aspect of it too. So it always feels like it's a good match, and it's one that we should be able to go in and do well in. I worry about the style though. You know, we do well, I think, against teams like Leipzig because they're trying to play aggressive football as well. They're not sitting back 10 men behind the ball the entire match where we have to break them down without someone like Girassi to poach that goal the last few games, right? Look at the Bochum game. Possession is ours for a ton of it. We just can't finish and score. That's the type of team that we tend to struggle against, and it's where you see us be able to play more open. It can be more successful for us. So hopefully we're able to have that, have, you know, Undav maybe keep up his streak going here and put some more goals in and actually finish well instead of that frustration we had in the first two matches of the Rückrunde.
Would I say like rivalries and derbies? I don't think it's a derby by any means, but all of the Baden-Württemberg teams that are in the Bundesliga at this point, yeah, Heidenheim, Augsburg, Freiburg, Hoffenheim, Karlsruhe is obviously the rival, right? I remember when we were in the second division, that was a lot of fun to watch on TV and to read about prior to, and how the mayors from both towns were like, please, everybody, be cool, be really cool. So we can't really include them in this conversation right now. But of the ones I just mentioned, are there any that you personally are like, yeah, I really want to beat these guys?
No, of that, I mean, I don't like Hoffenheim just because of how they are and how they got to where they are. I got the next podcast I'm about to jump on for the hockey one. The guy specifically cheers for Hoffenheim because he knows it pisses me off. So that is the Bundesliga team he has chosen just because he knows it annoys me. Like the Leipzig and Hoffenheim, where it feels like they've gotten their jump for reasons that don't make sense, right? Hoffenheim's the biggest one that bothers me that way from the Baden-Württemberg side. But the rest of the teams, I don't have enough of a know of why to dislike the other ones. As I think as Americans, at some points we have our fandom comes from afar a little more. If someone hasn't directly taught us that, or we haven't seen that, we don't know the full backstory of it. You know, it's not like Green Bay, Chicago, or, you know, Cleveland and winning.
No, we're gonna get that one someday.
We'll show. You know, so we don't have that inherent as American fans, perhaps the cultural dislike or hatred of the next town over that you would have if you grew up there, right? So, but from a footballing perspective, I just don't feel like Hoffenheim, the way they've come up, feels as legit as a team that's, you know, that's been there for a while, has a tradition, has the club and the actual fans behind it, like the traditional teams do.
Yeah, I talked to Justin from the RBL podcast yesterday, and his family's from Leipzig. That's where he can trace his in. So that's why he supports the club.
Sure.
And I get it. And what we discuss is like, I get that. That makes 100% sense. I can have an argument with you as to exactly what you're saying about Hoffenheim, why they exist and how they got here. But I can't argue with you supporting them.
Exactly. There's no problem with that. Yeah. And I mean, my choice of Stuttgart just happened to me because that's where Rotary sent me for an exchange, right? I actually had to laugh when De Bonetto came in. I didn't know he was from Schwäbisch Gmünd. That's the town where I actually got to go to high school for a week. I'm like, oh, I know that.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I wanted to add that in, and I forgot about it, one of the other F's is Fight. When he was taken down by one of the Leipzig players. I believe it was Anton and Daxo were there to protect him, and they were in the face of that Leipzig player, which gives me a lot of hope that this isn't just a Seiru team. This is a team.
And yeah, it feels that way, though, doesn't it? I mean, to me, it feels like we're not just – I mean, sure, Seiru's got a ton of goals.
Yes.
But Undav is right there behind him, even without the gap of games. I mean, he's still not that far behind. For us to have two of the top five scorers in the Bundesliga, again, this season is absurd.
I know. Let's get back on track and talk about the Freiburg match. So we're traveling to Freiburg. Now, the last time we played these guys, we blew them out of the water, 5-0. Chris had a brace. Seiru had a brace. Enzo had a goal off the bench. He was working his way into the starting lineup. The last 25, we've got the edge, 12 wins, 10 losses. Freiburg, though, leads 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw at home in the last 5. So they actually have a better run of form in their last 5 than we do. I always ask Matt this. What do you think the bookies, what's up, Winamax, have this one at? And what do you think the result of this one's going to be?
I think from a bookie perspective, a tie isn't too bad to expect here. You know, put the line there, you know, maybe 2-2. Feels similar. I mean, we haven't been well on the road. You know, it is a road match, and well, I don't know exactly what you said there. Freiburg's 3-3, 3-1-1, right? I think you said in the last 5 games at home.
Yep.
So we're going in somewhere, and we've sucked on the road so far this year. So a 2-2 tie seems like a safe bookie line.
Yeah, the bookies have for this a call for me. Stuttgart is actually the favorite on the road by -0.5 goal. And this one, you don't see that a lot. Usually the home team gets the half a goal advantage, and the over under in this one is 2.5 goals. So they see this as a pretty low scoring affair. I think going back to what you said, you know, Freiburg's probably going to park the bus. And if they go up a goal, it'll probably end 1-0. If we go up a goal, I love our chances to end this like 3-0, something like that.
Yeah. I would love to see us actually come out and for a change be on the upper hand to start with. And get the play from that position, because that breaks down that whole parking the bus mentality of a team so fast. If you are down a goal, you can no longer afford to sit back with so many people behind. And that opens up everything. To me, that first goal getting scored is the most important part of a soccer game, to open it up and actually make the game flow freely, as opposed to, you know, one team playing super cagey, just playing for the tie, right? So I would love to see us get an early goal first 15, 20 minutes and then just watch the game go from there. And then I think your scoreline of 3-0 isn't a bad shout either at that point, right? So it would be – when was the last time we've had a clean sheet too? I'm trying to think.
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, for us. I mean, against obviously was Bochum, but I don't know the last time Nubel's had one.
Oof, I thought he had one against – was it Augsburg going into the Christmas break? I think that was like a 2-0 match there. I'm a little worried going into this one. The last time I think we played at Freiburg, Daxo had 2 penalty kicks called against him. So he's got some bad mojo there. Freiburg plays well at home. Strike. He had Pellegrino's number, if you remember, but it isn't Pellegrino. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw on this one. So the good news for anybody who's listening is that I am god awful horrific in my predictions here. I'm under 500 in the Bundesliga predictions. I'm under 500 in my Stuttgart predictions. I'm going to say 1-1 draw. What, Rob, say you?
2-1 us.
Gosh, we got to have you on more often. The caution, the positivity.
I it's hard not to be positive when we're actually. How can you not be positive after what happened last week?
Well, we're Schwabish. That's why.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, you can take that little pessimism twist, right? Hey, if you expect it to be bad, it's good when it's good.
Right. That's why the Leipzig match was so flipping amazing. Yeah. Anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I was just buzzing all morning after that. You're just happy. It's so nice to start the morning off that way.
Yeah.
I think we managed to pull it out. I think we do.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. Rob, 5th episode, 5 goals. Maybe we'll get another 5. We'll have to have you on next week then.
Yeah. Hey, I'll come on after any 5 goals we score. I'm fine with that.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for popping on.
Yeah, probably time. We score 5 goals.
That's right. Really appreciate it. You heard it here first. 5-0 Stuttgart in this one. Rob, thanks a lot, man. Hopefully we talk to you next time after a 5-0 Stuttgart.
Most of the Stuttgart fans are going to be tucking into their Mauertaschen with glee tonight. If you're wondering what a Mauertasche is, it's a culinary speciality of this region. Southwestern German dumpling. And if you're not a fan of Mauertaschen, then always look for Spätzle, which is the southwestern German variety of pasta. I must confess to being a bit more of a Spätzle man myself. But do give the Mauertasche a try if you come here.